Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and you are going to be smarter at the end of this episode than you are right now because I have got a smart person to share with you. Her name is Allison Vidotto. She is an MBA. She is the CEO of the Vidotto Group and the Push Business Training. She is a business strategist with she is also a mentor, a professional speaker, and a published author. She is also the founder of the Australian Children of Vietnam and a mother of six. Allison, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So let me just start with this. You're talking about push business training. What is your concept of push business?
So the reason I created Push, long story short, I was, Vidotto Group is in the mining and resources industry, and we were going through explosive growth. And we, my husband and I, have been in business for about 28, 29 years. And during the course of the MBA, I came across the statistics of small business failure. And I was just astounded, like blown away. And so I then researched it further and, you know, people fail in business, not because they're not passionate or hardworking. It's because they don't have the structures and the systems and the strategies in place. So Push was born.
Okay. So I think that you are so right in this. And that is, it's not a lack of passion. It's not a lack of, knowledge about your subject area. It's a lack of business sense or a lack of business structure, and that's the main obstacle that people have. And I guess my question is, how can you open entrepreneurs' eyes to this? Because so many people are, they go into business for themselves because they're pursuing their passion, and yet they need to have the structure in place to make sure that at the end of the day, the thing doesn't fail. So how can you kind of help people open their eyes to that understanding?
Well, what I've done in a number of ways, when I think anybody who's been in business a while has hit some tough times, and we're no exception to that. We've gone through the GFC and, you know, the city was underwater, and each time we hit a major crisis, we managed to survive and pivot, and we relied on those systems and things like that that actually got us through. But we also managed to pivot in a way that would, you know, help us to survive and to grow. So, for example, when COVID hit, and, you know, my immediate thought was, what's going to happen to small business owners? How many entrepreneurs are going to go under because of this, and how can they pivot? You know, how can we pivot? What do we do to survive this? Because the key during a crisis is survival, and then you worry about growing later. So I created a membership to get online, and it's called Try. And so business owners, the way they pivot, no matter what your business is, the world moved online last year, so you need to move online too. You need to be reaching, you know, your audience. You need to be building. You need to be generating those leads. And so most people are on social media. So you need to be utilizing social media and other aspects of the online community to grow your business. And so that's how I try and reach people. And I do, you know, great interviews like this. Thank you. And, you know, most entrepreneurs that go under are often, they've got money in the pipeline somewhere. They just can't, you know, keep the momentum going to stay afloat until that money comes through. And they're isolated, so they don't have people saying to them, well, hold on, have you tried this? You know, hold on, I was in that situation, I tried that. So oftentimes entrepreneurs are isolated as well.
Okay. I'm curious to get your definition on something. When you say, you talk about getting your business online, to most people, their immediate thought is, okay, so I need a website. It sounds like you're not just talking about a website. You're talking about something more than that.
Yes. I'm talking, the number one thing is to have an email list. So you've got, you know, there are three ways that you can bring traffic to your business online. One of them is owned. You own it, and you own your email list, you own your website, unless it's hosted, you know, you own your blog. That is your property. The second one is rented, and that's Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, all of those. Now, I've known people, and I think we all know people, who've been in the middle of a major launch and Facebook shut them down, or they've had 300,000 followers and YouTube shut them down. And if you don't have their email addresses, that they're gone, you know, so your entire audience. So it's only rented. And when you rent anything, you have a landlord, and the landlord has the rights, you know. So the goal is to get them onto your own. Now, the third one is earned, and that's where people are referring you. You know, where you're doing things like guest blogging for a really reputable publication, or people are giving you testimonials. And that's, you know, that's sort of number two. Owned is number one. If it's earned, those people that come to you are already warm because somebody else has said they're really good.
Right.
You know, so whereas the rented, you know, it's cold traffic coming to you and you don't own it. So it doesn't matter who you are. If you've got that owned, you know, traffic and that audience, you can then communicate. And so you've got an online, you know, if you have a shop, imagine that shop is online. Those people doing walk-bys, they're the ones looking at your newsfeed. You know, the people who come in and have a bit of a look around, they might be somebody who likes one of your posts. And then suddenly they start buying from you, you know, and you get the loyalty.
Okay. So you give us the premise that the key to building all of this, the foundation, is creating an email list. So can you give us some hints or some tips as to if someone is starting from scratch and they have a, you know, a zero email list, what is the best and or quickest way to handle that?
Yes. So first thing, I didn't have an email list just a few years ago. So, and no matter how big somebody's list is, they all started with 10 and half of them were, you know, relative. So we've all gone from zero to wherever we are. So for a start, don't be intimidated. Don't think, oh, this is too big, because it's so doable. Now, one of the things I really recommend is you get to know your ideal client. If you don't already have clients, think about your product and who you would love to work with. So like my ideal client is, generally speaking, it's a woman. She's a woman. She's between 40 and 60 plus. She's been in business a few years. She's very, very busy. She's really hardworking. She finds this whole online stuff overwhelming. Now, what I did when I first started in the online space, I started interviewing these women. So I would go and I would meet with them and then I would talk to them. And I had, you know, the questionnaire and I was really upfront. I'm trying to do this and I was studying marketing and I would say to them, you know, this is an exercise. Can I have a bit of your time? 10 years on, I still meet with my ideal client avatars and we actually, I go for breakfast with them or go for lunch. And if I'm thinking about a new product, I'll run it by them. I'll ask them what they're really struggling with. I regularly survey them, you know, so, you know, and number one question, what's the biggest challenge you're dealing with in your business right now? So you want to get to know that ideal client, because anything you create, you want to create for that person, you know, not for everybody.
Right.
And, you know, there's a saying, the riches are in the niches or something. You know, the more you niche down, the better off you'll be.
Sure.
So once you know that person, then you give them value. So for me, I have a social media checklist. And so what I did, I interviewed lots and lots, and I have a Facebook group, and I would question them as well, survey them. And I'm a bit of a data geek. I'm a mum of six, so I've always run a tight ship. What can I say? So what I do, like the questions to come into my Facebook group, they are collected and they are color-coded in a chart, in a spreadsheet. And I have six categories. And I've never had a response that didn't fit into one of those six categories. And it's the six categories that you need to have running well for a business to succeed. They're the six modules of my bigger program. They're the six areas of business that I always monitor. Everything fits into those categories. What I did then was I created a freebie, like an ebook type thing, completely free, downloadable for each of the categories. And I put them out there. So the six top problems that my audience deal with, I created what we call a lead magnet. So I created these freebies and I put them out there. One in particular was downloaded at like 500 times the others.
Okay.
So I knew, and that is a social media checklist. So most of the entrepreneurs that I deal with, you know, they want social media to work better for them. So that one lead magnet, I think, has had something like 15,000 downloads so far.
Wow. Yeah.
And I have their email address because it goes behind an email capture. So for them to download the freebie, they give me their first name and their email address.
Yeah. And it makes sense. Now, it helps you. It helps you in a couple of ways. Number one, it helps you to identify which of the areas people are finding the most difficulty in. And then it also helps you to build your email list. So I've got a random question for you. And that is, you described your ideal client. Does she have a name that you have imaginarily come up with, or is it just...
Yes. No, she's Ambitious Annie, because she's very ambitious. She's very hardworking. And, and so, yeah. You know, and look, I could describe, she's got three kids and she's been married for, you know, 26 years. And, you know, she's working really hard. She's on the cusp of getting to the next level. She's really tired. You know, she's just not systemized. And it doesn't take much tweaking for her to, hold on, I've got a lot more time available. I'm making a lot more money. You know, she's got a good business.
Okay. So one of the things that you've given us as a foundation is having an email list. Okay. I want to go back though to something else that you said. You were talking about having business structures and business kind of strategies in place. Can you, so do those build on the email list? Are they something that is built separate from that, or how does that work?
Everything in your business should work together.
Okay.
It should be purposeful. You know, nothing in your business should be accidental. So another training that I run is repurposing content. The number of small business owners that spend a huge amount of time trying to come up with content, and their content is fantastic. And then I say to them, you know, okay, so you've written this fabulous blog article. Now what are you doing? I'm putting it on my website. Now what are you going to do? I'm going to share it on social media. Now what are you going to do? I'll send a link in my email. Now what are you going to do? I'm working on the next one. No. Come back. You take one blog article. You then send it out in your email list. You then take out a dozen small quotes and you use them for tweets. You go into Canva and you create images and you start sharing that across Facebook. You take 4 to 6 main points and you make up an infographic for Pinterest. You take other quotes with different images and you share them across Instagram. You get in and you tweak that and you make a conversational and you record a video for YouTube. You then put that video into Descript.com. And you chop it into tiny pieces and you use that for your stories and your reels and you share that across your social media. You then tweak the headline of your article, create a different image, and you've got a full article to publish on LinkedIn, on Pulse. A week after that, you do the same again, tweak it and you post it on Medium. You know, I think that's something, I don't know, 13 or 15 points we've just covered from one article. You know, everything you do in your business works towards your end goal, and you get the most mileage out of it that you can.
Okay. Now, help me with this. is the purpose of generating content to lead to your funnel, to lead to adding people to your email list, or is there, so that's the goal that you're headed towards.
So if you remember the 80-20 rule, so when you're sharing across social media, 80% of your posts feed the platform you're playing on. So you play nice. You know, Facebook favors people who are feeding Facebook. So 1 in 5 posts go to your website. I don't share links to my, like my Facebook group, or I don't share links to other platforms. I share links to something that's going to require an email address, because my goal is to get them off that platform and onto my email list so I can take it to the next level, and then I'll email them each week.
Okay. So let me just make sure that I understand what you just said. You're saying if you have 5 posts based on your 80-20 rule, one of them is taking people off of Facebook to your website, and the other 4 are just things that are posted there that are keeping people on Facebook.
Yes, and you're adding value to them. So everything should contain what we call a call to action. So everything you put, if you post a video or you post a quote or you post a, you know, what are you focusing on this week? What's your top priority? Leave me a message in the comments. You're asking them to engage. You're asking them to share. You're asking them to comment. You're asking them to, you know, to do something. And then 1 in 5, you can get the free checklist. Link is in the comments below.
Got it. Okay. That helps me understand, because what you're doing there, it sounds to me like, is you're building a relationship. And some of the relationship is just a comment, like, so on.
Yes.
And then the other piece is that's building the relationship so that when they get to that 5th one, then okay. And let me just make sure that I, because I think I understand this as well, that the more interaction you get on Facebook, the more Facebook is going to be willing to share the things that you're posting. Is that accurate, or am I imagining that?
No, you're absolutely right. The other thing is, though, a lot of times, and I always say to people, don't get caught up in the vanity metrics. You know, it's not the number of likes, it's not the number of followers that you've got. I know people who've got 50,000 followers and they struggle to get a sale. And I know people who've got 500 followers and they're doing really well. So it's the level of the relationship you've got with them. The other thing I've found, that by having regular contact with my ideal client avatars, it was very interesting. They would say things like, I love that infographic that you shared. I actually saved it to my desktop. That video that you posted, you know, about your pup was fabulous. I just loved it. And I was sort of, why didn't you comment?
Right.
Oh, I don't know. So the fact that people aren't commenting does not mean they're not seeing it and they're not engaging with it.
Got it.
Now, the other thing is, Facebook can also monitor, and they do, how long somebody is looking at something. So even if they're not doing things that you can see, like liking or commenting, the algorithm is aware that they are, you know, the impression is greater.
Got it.
The other thing is, the algorithm does not like pages and things where every post has external links.
Okay.
You will go down in the algorithm.
Got it. Okay. And let me, I think I'm understanding this, in which you're saying, as you build your community, if you have a group that has 50,000, I don't know if you have this expression in Australia or not, but 50,000 Tom, Dick, and Harrys all in your group, that's not going to be as effective as if you have a group for you of 500 Achieving Annies. Is that the name that we had?
Yes.
So because your market is not Tom, Dick, and Harry, your market is Annie.
Yeah.
And so and you're not going to sell to Tom, Dick, and Harry, you're selling to Annie. Is that?
Yes, 100%. Now, one of the things people often say to me, you know, when I say, well, who is your ideal client? Oh, but, you know, this is great for any age. And I always say to them, okay, here's an example. I'm in my 50s and I like nutrients. You know, there's like the protein drinks. I have a son who's 26 who likes protein drinks. Now, he likes to watch, you know, like crazy MMA and extreme sports. And I like to look at, you know, travel sites and, you know, book reviews and beautiful architecture. If I belong to a group and they start posting things on like MMA or extreme motocross, I'm out of there. I don't care about their protein drinks. I don't want to see that in my feed. The groups that he belongs to, he loves his protein drinks, but he does not want to see middle-aged women, you know, wandering through Paris. And, you know, so he's out of there too.
Right.
So they're left with these fabulous protein drinks and nobody to share them with.
Okay, let me just run an idea by you and give me your gut reaction if you don't mind. And that is, if you have almost, you can have the exact same protein drink and the label and the name and the picture that's on the label is going to help determine who buys it. Okay. And so, you know, if I don't even know, you know, like the, for a protein drink for the MMA guys, it's, you know, the power muscle builder or something. And then you have the same thing and it's called the sustaining power, you know, soothing, sustaining power. And it's going to be those two things. It could be the exact same product with two different labels and they appeal to two different audiences. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, good. You know, smart marketing.
Okay.
You know, it's the same as a stereo might appeal to both of us, but we're going to go for completely different aesthetics.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah, and I mean, and in some ways, what you do with the stereo is going to be different too. So, you know,
yeah.
Hyping to kids about, you know, the bass and the whatever it is, and hyping to us who are no longer kids about the you know, the high quality and the, you know, whatever it is. So interesting. Okay, so I want to go back and talk a little bit again about the strategies. How do you determine, or the systems, how do you determine what's worth making into a system for your business?
I have a saying that I'm sure drives everybody that works with me mad. If it's worth doing twice, it's worth having a system in place.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Okay. So I'm heavily systemized with everything. There's so many free tools available as well. You can go pro as well. Things like Trello and Asana and, you know, there's all sorts of things that you can use. If you do anything, you simply record what you're doing. So you can use like Loom video, which, you know, is minimal cost if it's not free. And you simply record the screen. Okay, this is what I'm doing. I might do that as I create an image in Canva, for example. And then what I'll do is I will, you know, I'm great for shortcuts too, you know. So you can either write them down. I use an app called Otter. It's fantastic. And it's just on my phone. And I'll just talk as I'm doing it. Okay, this is how I'm changing the color. I like to use Baskerville font. This is where I'm bringing this in. Okay, download it here. Make sure it's PNG. Make sure it's transparent. Put it into here. At the end of that, Osho will give me a written transcript as well as an audio recording.
Okay.
I simply put the little video and the transcript step by step into Asana. Anybody can go in there and follow step by step what they should do.
Okay.
I can then hire a VA. I have a VA and I'll say, okay, they're, you know, here, and I'll tag her in a comment in Asana. Please make these up for the items on the spreadsheet.
And it makes so much sense, because I guess that's training is part of the most time consuming thing about working with someone else.
Yeah.
But if you literally have a step-by-step process that you've laid out, they can almost self-train. Is that
100%, 100%. And the other thing is, I'm across social media. I like to respond myself, so, and I like to write myself. So any emails from me are written by me, and, you know, any videos and things like that I like to do because I like my own voice. And I think, you know, people are connecting with me, not with somebody else. So
just a quick question for you. When you say that you like your own voice, do you mean the literal sound of your own voice or the way in which you express yourself?
No, unlike everybody else on the planet, I cringe when I hear my voice, literally speaking. But, you know, I think if somebody is opening my email and reading it, I believe it should come from me.
Right.
You know, some people have amazing team members. I don't, that write for them. So that's something that I do. So I will write the original blog article, I will write the email, and I will record the videos. That, you know, they are the things that I do. Scheduling posts, I don't do. You know, creating the image, I don't do. So all of those things that somebody else can do without impacting my voice, and I'm saying voice in a generic, this is, you know, push business training.
Right.
I believe that as entrepreneurs, we should get somebody else to do that so we can operate where we're, you know, where we're most passionate, where we're our genius zone, as they say, or,
right.
You know, don't get, you know, don't spend your precious time creating social media posts when you can get somebody else to do that for you.
Excellent. Okay. Let me, I guess I've got, this is my last question for you, and that is, you are leading your team, you're leading groups, you're doing all of those kind of things. What do you have to say to people who say, like, I have my own business, I struggle with leadership, I maybe I just wasn't born with it, or I don't have those capabilities? What's your reaction?
My reaction is nobody was born with it. Nobody. You know, leadership is something that I believe we all have. Doesn't matter whether you're introverted, extroverted. During my years working in Vietnam, I worked with young blind people, mainly living in poverty, completely disadvantaged, closed off from the world for a number of years, and given the opportunity and the training and the empowerment, leadership came to the fore.
Okay.
So you definitely have leadership within you. It really doesn't matter who you are. And even if you're a solopreneur, you are leading your audience, you're leading your clients, you're leading your suppliers. And if you're not leading them, then they're leading you.
Mm.
It's
almost like what you're saying is in, and I think this is true, in a leadership vacuum, leadership emerges. So there's got to be a leader. And if you're not stepping up to be that leader, the audience, your clients, somebody else will step up and take the lead. And especially as a solopreneur, that's not going to work well for your business.
No, it's not, because you're going to be sold things you don't really want or you don't really need.
Yeah. So,
you know, step up. That leadership space is inside of you. You just need to step into it.
I love it. I think what an empowering way to kind of wrap up our interview. Listen, Allison Vidotto, you've been phenomenal. If people are looking to learn more about you or connect with you, what's the best way?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on, you know, Twitter and LinkedIn. I do have a freebie that you can get from my website is pushbusinesstraining.com.
Okay.
Push, like the door to success says, push.
Got it.
You can find me anywhere.
Wonderful.
And such an unusual name. There's not many out there.
It's phenomenal. And so I will put the link to your website and to your social media and everything down in the show notes so people can go. And you have the freebie about social media. Absolutely phenomenal. Thank you so much. It is now time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these?
Go.
Have you ever had a secret admirer?
Yes.
How old were you, if you don't mind me asking?
I think about 30.
Oh, wow. Absolutely amazing. That's That's cool. And you found out who it was, obviously.
I did eventually, yes.
Okay. If you were a superhero, what superpower would you choose to have?
If I was a superhero, I think it would have to be with, equal opportunity around the planet.
Okay. So you would be like Captain Equality?
Captain Opportunity. I
Captain
think
Up.
people, no matter where they are or where they come from, they should be given opportunity.
But that is absolutely phenomenal, and I love it. Okay, so last question for you. Besides shrimp, what else do Australians cook on the Barbie?
We don't cook shrimp on the barbies, just quietly. That was a Paul Hogan movie thing.
No,
Yes.
okay.
Yes, there's a myth explosion. Oh, we'd sausages, sausages on, and we call them snags.
Okay. Well,
Yes.
so are they more like the English sausage without a tremendous amount of flavor, or are they more like the Italian sausage that's got
No,
more seasoning and flavor?
yeah, there, and it's huge here. So we have a great big hardware stalls called Bunnings, and I don't mean to be Bunnings club, but we'll have like fundraisers where you can get a sausage in bread. I think it's $2, and it goes to a local charity. Different charities buy for that spot, and people will go down to get the,
Fantastic.
Saturday sausage on the barbie.
I love it. Thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure. I have learned from you, and I'm sure that my audience has as well. To all of my listeners, thank you for being here today. And I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much.